This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Shoot, yeah, it's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation. We're going to 5:30 tonight. Rangers are in Cleveland to take on the Guardians. Coming up at 3:20, we'll give you the 10 biggest storylines from Oxnard. Right now, NFL news of the day. Here's Woolchuck.
Big day for this center, Creed Humphrey of the Kansas City Chiefs, former Oklahoma Sooner, Carter Freeman's favorite player. He has become the highest paid center in NFL history today as he agreed to a 4-year contract extension with the Chiefs that's worth $72 million, including $50 million in guarantees. So shout out to him, 25 years old. He's been brilliant since his rookie year. Him alongside their starting guard, Trey Smith, who they stole in the 6th round. They were both entering the final year of their deals. I'm sure Smith will get a new deal soon. But my gosh, Humphrey, 3rd in the NFL last season in pass block win rate at 96.6%.
Was his parents just huge fans of the band? Did you guys in your draft scouting, did you uncover that? Or did you leave a little meat on that bone?
I was amazed. I'd never seen a left-handed center.
It's weird.
It's strange to watch him, like, you know, because there's so much shotgun snap and him blocking it. And usually it's like defensive linemen always attack the left hand of the center because that's the offhand or the snap hands. So I thought it was just strange. I never got into how he got his name that way. I don't know.
That feels like some oversight.
Well, thank you.
But, yeah, I mean, you're the best in the business.
No, you know?
You're the best in the business.
Okay, Dawson.
Hey, the deal is you've just set the bar so high for yourself. So yeah. when you fall short, you know, we think about it. But the arm length, somebody was talking about the Cooper Beebe arm length today. I had no idea he was a short arm dude. He's like a unicorn of a guy who has short arms, but he's still just awesome.
Giant.
Did you see how he physically looked?
It's a very interesting body.
He's dumpy. He's dumpy. Yeah. He's squatty.
Respectful.
You know what? He's squatty. He's dumpy.
Respectfully.
No,
as long as you throw in just respectfully.
He's very much an old school like looking center.
Yeah.
He's not a very modern looking, long, athletic looking type of a
center.
Which
is why people honestly kind of didn't give him enough credit for his athleticism.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he can move.
He's a dumpy guy. Yeah, he is.
Respectfully dumpy, yeah.
And this is great news for Cooper Beebe, because now, you know, 4 years from now, this is just upping the center salary. So when he's up there amongst the best centers in football, he's going to be in line for a nice and fat deal. Good for him. Excited.
Yeah, I mean, like, Creed Humphrey has a full inch longer arm length than Cooper Beebe. And apparently that 1 inch is like a huge, I mean, he is a big-time outlier is Cooper Beebe. To have arms like that and still be a guy that can play center and clearly do it at a high level.
Yeah. Shout out to Texas Tech.
Wreck them.
The Mahomes family, giving them a nice donation. Patrick and his wife Brittany have donated $5 million to Texas Tech's football center project.
Is it going to be called the Mahomes Center?
This is going to be, it's part of the school's south end zone.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they're going to get, I'm sure that they'll get, is the field already? I think he's already got his name somewhere there, like on the field.
Is it AT&T Jones
Mahomes Stadium.
No, it's Jones Stadium,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, it is Jones Stadium. It is. It's AT&T, Jones AT&T Stadium is what it's called.
Yeah, and I don't think they have any field rights yet.
Well, maybe that can be Mahomes. Just name it Mahomes Field.
Yeah. Well, if he gave money to a building, then they'll probably put his name on that building.
Like that West End Zone, yeah, or whatever it is.
The end zone, it should be the Mahomes end zone.
Yeah.
Every time someone scores. Like
that's
they
South
just,
End Zone.
They just scored in the Pat Mahomes end zone.
You're in the Pat Mahomes red zone right now.
Oh, you know, there you go. The Pat Mahomes.
The Pat Zone.
Pat Mahomes red zone.
Pat Mahomes.
This is the Pat Zone.
I love Mahomes.
You're in the Pat Mahomes. We got Jacoby Brissett. He's going to start the final preseason game. Drake May is supposed to play for the Patriots. Could be an indication that Brissett's going to end up being the dude, which I think he should be. I think Brissett should be starting and let Drake May sit and learn and groom.
Everything is...
No, I've dug in.
No, you are
dug in. You're such an anti-May guy.
That's human nature, dude. Who's going to scout a guy and put his name on him?
I accuse Bobby of being dug in about Trey Lance.
Daniels.
I am really dug in about Drake May.
Yeah, that's your Drake May,
man.
And that's okay. but I do think like the Patriots are being very open about the idea that Brissett's the guy, even though he's sucked.
He's been awful.
And reports out of camp are Brissett sucked. And
maybe they need to play Drake May.
Drake May is
probably going to end up playing him.
Just gotten better. Yeah, I don't think week one... Drake May is your starter in New England with the way that they're talking about it. And I'm fine with that too. I'm more of a Drake May guy, like big picture. I think he could be something, but I would have no issues if he didn't start until week five or week eight or whatever.
Slow play that. I think you should absolutely slow play.
Nah, let him start in week one. Let's go.
Yeah. Throw him to the wolves. Did you see the Hall of Fame change?
Broadus just wants to see him get his ass kicked.
I just want to see chaos.
Gosh. The Pro Football Hall of Fame has announced a change in their selection. So basically, just for coaches, okay?
Oh, right.
Coaches, only 1 year wait now. It's like Bill Belichick, he could be inducted into the Hall of Fame now next year.
Is that an age thing?
They're afraid of.
They don't want Andy Reid having to wait 5 years.
They want to honor these guys while they can honor these guys.
Right.
Yeah.
I like it. Good move for the coaches. And then we got a new fantasy football punishment that I had not seen. This sounds a little bit brutal. Maybe you guys would be in on this.
Caddy for a golf buddy?
No. So this guy's going out there to do his fantasy draft in Vegas with his buddies. But part of his punishment is he's got to fly in a day early. He's got $20, no hotel room, and he's got to find a way to survive the night with just the $20, and he can't get a hotel room until the next day when they meet up and do the draft. So he put it on Reddit. He was asking, like, hey, can I get some tips or advice to how to make it through the night?
Gambling?
Sounds pretty awful. I mean, I guess, yeah, right?
Like,
just kind of
penny slots?
Hang out in the casinos?
Yeah, just kind of play a hand or two and hope you can get some money to... And you could maybe hit one of those buffets and just load up.
But you only have
$20. You only got $20. I mean, you can't
fish
and chips from Gordon Ramsay's crappy little place.
You win. You win. By the way, that beef Wellington was the most disappointing meal I've ever had.
I know. That's so upsetting to hear.
No, his fish and chips are actually good, but it was like $50 for four of them and crappy fries.
I would hope that maybe you hit some slots. You know, you hit some slots.
Yeah, of the suggestions were like just put 20 on black on roulette red and try and double your money.
Yeah, try and find a way to win money, enough money to eat on. That's what I would do.
Yeah, you're going to want some coffee. You're going to want something to eat. So I would say you take your $20 and you start walking to like a cheap diner. You know, you might have to get off strip, but that's going to eat up some of your time because you want a spot where you can just hang for hours.
Me personally? I would also consider going to the sports book and betting on games and stuff and horse races and things. Maybe $5
put
on this,
$10 here.
Yeah.
But you're pulling an all-nighter, right?
That's what I'm saying.
24 hours or 12 hours?
It's just for the night.
It's for the night. Okay.
Yeah. And then the next day they're going to meet up and do their draft.
I do think the sports book.
He's
got to
fly in by himself and just be a schmuck.
The sports book, he could get drinks.
He's got $20.
No, he gets free drinks hanging out in the sports book.
Yeah, but the games are going to be over by 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, but
you're just watching reruns of SportsCenter like you'd be doing in bed anyway.
You're so hopefully you win something.
Hopefully you've won enough that you can go get something to eat. But in the sports book, he could sit there and probably get snacks for free, right?
This is Vegas too, right?
Yeah.
This is Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Just stop by the dispensary, get you some gummies.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, after all the sports is off of TV, eat those gummies. Time flies. You'd be like, damn, it's 5:30 in the morning. I'm hungry as hell. I did it. It's over with.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, do you think they would let you just sleep on one of the sports book sofas in there? Because
get up every once in a while.
I would go to a hotel lobby that has couches and stuff, and just sit in a chair. Just kind of like you're, you know, just lounging in
a
chair.
Like I'm a drunk guy that just passed out.
Yeah, just like, yeah, I'd just sit there as long as they'd let me. And then they'd make you move probably and just move to another hotel, you know. Just keep moving.
I think your dollars are precious, though, especially if you get into those gummies, you get some cotton mouth, you need something to eat, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to end up.
That's a good call.
Somebody suggested this $2 hot dog place that they got
there.
Yeah, there you go. Reddit gave them some, like, good options.
Now we're thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
For cheap food. So, I mean, you basically, like, maybe you can dabble. You got
what's
10
wrong
bucks.
With fasting for a day, too, by the way?
Nothing. You know, get a good water fast in. Yeah. Okay, that could be good for him. Then he'll end up crushing the draft the next day. Hopefully, he doesn't
there's
end up
There's
got to
be a dollar slice
again.
Pizza place, too, right? Dollar slice.
You know, there's vending machine pizza.
There's vending
you can
machine
get there.
Pizza.
How
that
much
I would
did
not
that
recommend.
Cost you guys?
I don't even remember.
It was too much. If it was a dollar, it would have been too much.
I would not recommend it. It was disgusting. At all. Yeah, don't ever get that vending machine.
Glad
pizza.
We did it, though. You know, don't regret it. Just never would do it again.
Yeah, well, you
that was
you
right
were.
Outside our elevator you did that, right?
Yeah, it was right there.
Why couldn't you go somewhere else? What were you thinking?
Well, because we've never seen a vending machine pizza before.
I mean, come on.
It's like, this seemed like a revolutionary concept. We wanted to just give it a try.
Oh, yeah, well, you saw where that ended up.
Yeah, it didn't end up being good.
I mean, imagine you walk by a vending machine, Broadus, and you can get a bunch of ready-made crawfish. You'd be like, let me give this a shot.
It's good.
There's no way
let me try
good.
This.
There's no way it'd be
but
good.
You would dabble.
No, you wouldn't.
Let me give a food review
not that
for this
much
and post it.
You guys were hammered. You came in, and you didn't have anything to eat. Just tell
the
truth.
Yeah, it was late.
I mean, yeah, you kind of got us cornered now.
Tell the story.
It was late night.
Yeah, so what?
Which one of you put the money in?
Walchuk did.
I did.
Okay.
Eric was
over there encouraging you, wasn't he?
Yeah, of course.
Like,
we made a whole video about it.
It can't be that bad.
I'm rooting on my guy. Yeah, I wanted that pizza to be good.
He's not watchdogging it. Yeah. He's guiding me.
Yeah.
It's like, you go ahead and make that bad
decision.
Why
is he over there saying, oh, it was bad?
Because we tried it and it wasn't good.
It did
suck. You bought it for him?
I tried a bite.
We shared a little bit.
How bad are we talking? Like worse than a good frozen pizza? Worse than a bad frozen pizza?
Yes. Worse than any pizza you've ever had. It was cardboard crust. Mm-hmm. And then it was like
the sauce was off-putting.
Yes.
Yeah.
The worst pizza sauce you've ever had. It left
but
a
you
bad
would figure
taste.
In Vegas, you know, $12 I think was the price that you guys quoted me at the time. I remember that. It's easy to just put DiGiorno's in there and crank those out, you know?
Yeah, they've really tried to outthink the room here a little bit. They tried to get, I don't know, a little bit too fancy. Just throw a Totino's in there and let's just go, dude. You know,
I might pay $10 for a Totino's in a casino
it's
and
good
enjoy
stuff.
It.
Heck yes.
Maybe
dude.
Just give me some
did you think
rolls?
About that, Dawson, when you were sitting at the table there when you went all in? I'd like to have a Totino's right now.
I would have. I was hungry, man.
It's delicious. All right, the top 10 wide receiver tandems in the National Football League. This is CBS Sports pumping this out. Number 10's a weird one. Maybe we're just not. I'm not giving this guy enough credit, but it's Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers. I guess Jacoby Myers.
No, Jacoby Myers is.
He's been better than. Been he's better. Got 800 yards in three straight seasons, and then of course Davante Adams is a top 10 receiver in football. Number top nine three. Is CD and Brandon Cooks.
Mm.
Eight is DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Probably end up being Roman Dunze at the end of the year.
Yeah, Roman Dunze for sure.
Seven is Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins with the Texans. I mean, you even throw Tank Dell in there.
People are saying the Texans are going through there. All the national media people are saying the Texans are for real.
Oh, yeah.
They say of all the places you've been, who do you like to – Houston.
It's just a tough schedule for them, but that's a good football team.
Yeah.
And they hit it it's with insane. The coach and the quarterback, it seems. Rams, Kupp, and Puka Nacua at six.
Ooh, that seems low.
Debo and Brandon Ayuk at five. We'll see if that ends up starting the season. Now there's rumors again that Washington's going to get back into the mix with Ayuk since they just traded Dotson to Philly. Mm. Cincinnati with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins is four.
That seems low.
I think so, too. I think that could be number one. Jefferson and Addison is number three with the Vikings.
I mean, I would take the combination behind
I would
that,
too.
That group.
Two is the Eagles with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Number one, okay, this one's probably fair, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. With the Dolphins. But I think I'd put the Bengals at least at two.
I think the Bengals need to be up there in the mix for sure. But number two would be a good spot.
But I wasn't sure Lamb and Cooks would even make it. Seems like a lot of people just kind of writing off Brandon Cooks. But I think they're deserving to be on this list. I think Cooks has been crushing it in camp. And honestly,
he
should have
been.
Had a better year last year, but he just wasn't involved in the offense. Right. Which wasn't his fault.
Yeah. Every national thing that I've heard is they're much more down on Brandon Cooks than I think we are. Like as a number two wide receiver.
Yeah, it's a good number two.
That he is absolutely solid.
Well, he had to play the role of Gallup last year, and I don't think that was very good for him to have to run slants and those things. The last image you have of Cooks is getting intercepted in the Green Bay game. You know,
oh, with that slant. Yeah.
Alexander, like,
that
jumping
was gross.
In front of him. Yeah.
That was not a good deal there. Final thing, shout out to Teddy Bridgewater. You know, he's a high school football coach now.
In Miami, right?
In Miami, at his alma mater. He did. His team crushed it. They won 45-0 in their debut.
They looked good coming out of the tunnel. That's about
all
I saw.
They got some dogs, man. They got a 4-star wide receiver, Calvin Russell III. He is 6'5", 190.
Jeez.
I mean, they got an offensive lineman that's 6'6", 250. He's committed to go to Wisconsin. I mean, they got some big boys on that squad there. But 45 zip, Teddy Bridgewater in his debut. Shout out to him at Miami Northwestern.
Thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40. We have the 10 biggest storylines from Oxnard next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To the nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3. The Fan segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. We have the 10 biggest stories from Dallas Cowboys training camp in Oxnard, California, here in the morning news. We'll use this to kick off a C-note here, Cowboys news of the evening. The first, like, handful are pretty talked through. All quiet on the contract front is number one there with Dak and CeeDee Lamb. Nothing new, right, to update, guys, as far as what's buzzing?
No, sir. Nothing
Alrighty.
New. Nothing new.
Pretty quiet.
Number two, Dak is a daddy. I think that one's pretty cool. You know, we're all dads now, and you can tell how you have, you know, just a different perspective on life. Maybe you work a little bit harder. I don't know if it's possible for Dak to work any harder or carry.
He had a really
more.
Good camp. He really did.
Yeah,
Mike Zimmer challenged him, and challenged him in putting his scheme in, and Dak and these quarterbacks. I mean, it was a battle every day because of the way that Al Harris had the secondary ready to play, Zagina, the linebackers. Everybody was ready to play. This was a good camp for Dak when you look at overall day to day to day the way he practiced.
What's the most different thing with the scheme?
I think the different thing with the scheme is we've heard about the disguise part of it, and these guys are getting pretty decent at it when it comes to standing in one spot, and the next thing you know, wait a minute, what just happened? They were just there just a second ago. But they've done a really good job where he'll bring two off one side, drop one off the other. You know, they call it back in the day, it was called fire zone, where you bring, you know, you just try and overload one side and then drop the other side thinking that they're going to throw the ball away from the blitz. So there's things that he's trying to do. His way of playing football is much more sound than maybe what you get with Dan Quinn. And I mean sound with the way of protecting, like if you're gonna gamble, okay, I'm gonna limit what you can do by me gambling.
Yeah, Ben Solak now works for ESPN, but he described Zimmer. He says his scheme matches the current wave in the NFL. Custom blitz packages, yeah. Simulated pressures, two deep zone coverages, which is a far cry from what Dan Quinn was.
Single, a lot of single high. I mean, you saw a lot of single high with Dan. But
yeah.
Dan,
you didn't see a lot of blitzing at all with Dan.
I would be interested to see if Dan, just this is a thought, I'd be interested to see if Dan's defense would be different if they had this group of linebackers.
Offensive scheme the same though?
Cowboys?
Yeah.
Feel like that there's some to it. It's not very exciting, to be honest with you. I mean, okay. I mean,
well, you got excited. We all did got excited about this offense for a good chunk of last season, and then it fizzled out, and it seemed like teams started to get a beat on what it is that you were wanting to do, and you had no answers and no like counters
With installation, I didn't see a bunch of beaters. You know, when you start talking about the cover two beaters and, you know, different, you know, blitz beaters and stuff, I didn't see anything that led me to. I'm not saying it's a bad offense. I'm just saying that there were days at practice where if they hit a play, they hit a play. If they didn't hit it, there wasn't one that just, damn again. You know, it wasn't that. It wasn't that.
Like consistent.
Well, yeah, where you're constantly
just
going,
having answers to what the defense is giving you.
Constant answers, and guys are wide ass open and stuff like that.
Didn't see that.
And so,
number three. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Number three on the list here, morning news, top 10 storylines from Oxnard as we get ready to welcome back to DFW. Mike McCarthy's big challenge as far as, you know, having a lame duck contract situation. I don't know. I think this one's kind of overplayed, guys. I think maybe a lot of people would do their best work when you have to be awesome in order to continue to work on that job. You know, I think we have a complacency issue here.
Yeah, I think Mike is a lot like Dak. And if not here, somewhere else. And somewhere else might be, you know, he's getting close to, you know, an age where probably they might not, you know, go for a younger guy. But his body of work is, if you presented his body of work, it's better than, you know, Raheem Morris's body of work in Atlanta, places like that.
A lot of coaches, really.
Yeah. So I think Mike McCarthy, if it doesn't work here, I think he, Don Yee, those guys, I think they're more than comfortable moving on to somewhere else if they can.
Yeah, I get that, but I think he'd prefer to stay.
I don't think he's worried about it.
I don't want to get fired.
I don't think he's. It wouldn't be getting fired. His contract ran out.
I know, but that's kind of semantical.
That's
like
what
you're not welcome back.
Well, that's how they look at it. You know, that's how teams look at it, but. To me, I think that Mike McCarthy is not sweating this at all. I just don't.
Well, then for that reason, it wouldn't be a problem.
To move on?
No, it's like a negative.
If it's not a positive, it's not a negative.
It's kind of a nothing burger.
Yeah, I think he was looking at it as like a nothing burger, to be honest with you.
Interesting. Okay, number four, Sir Lance played a lot. You know, and I guess we'll have another chance to evaluate and refresh that conversation. I don't think we need to rehash that again. Keeping up with the Joneses, number five, Cowboys, the first professional sports franchise to hit $10 billion. You got everything going on with the Joneses in the courtroom and everything. You know, I've kind of had my fill of that conversation as well. But we get to number six. All eyes on Marshawn Nealon, the draft pick that drew comps to Tank Lawrence. Then you had the Sam Williams injury, and here comes Marshawn Nealon, who's, you know, now expected to play quite a bit. What kind of a pass rusher are we getting here? We know he's an all-around good player, Brian. Is he a guy that could maybe challenge for double-digit sacks? Are you hoping for five or six
at a high
point in his career?
Yeah, not right now. It's, to me, he's capable. Now, if you would have told me how many sacks was he going to get coming out of Western Michigan, I would have said two would have been a high number for him.
Okay. So he had what, like five?
Yeah. He's
like, I'm looking at pressures for him more so than sacks.
His whole thing, his where he is going to help you is complete game player.
Yeah.
He's going to help you in the run defense because they were not very good on that right defensive end at that edge. They weren't good with Williams. They weren't good with Fowler. They weren't good with Armstrong. So he gives you a guy that knows how to play the run off the edge. But if he were to get anywhere between five and seven sacks, I think that's
huge.
That's huge for him.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
I think that more realistically, we're probably looking somewhere between three and four would be my – right now, that would be the number I think I would post for him.
You think he has potential, though?
I think that he has done a lot. He's made me a believer since he's got out of school at Western Michigan because I didn't think he had pass rush ability, and he does have some of that. He's just got to figure out how to win more often.
Well, I love this storyline. I love this draft class. Committee Chair Zeke is number seven on the list. Should he be? I mean, is this a guy who deserves his spot on the roster or a guy that's just getting it because of his status?
They did a really good job of not presenting him in any way that we can evaluate him. They did. I mean, they if you don't if you don't play him, then there's no question. There's no now. The questions are starting to kind of circulate a little bit, though. You know, now that you see how this ended up, like, well, okay, what did he do to earn his spot? And he earned his spot just by who he was.
Yeah,
that's how he earned his spot.
It's his status, 100%.
Yeah. Because they're like, I was watching him run pivot routes and stuff the other day. It's hard for him to run these in out breaking routes and stuff. He's like, he's huffing and puffing and groaning and all that stuff. You know, trying to.
He's going to be year nine, and I mean, that's a dude who was running to the ground at Ohio State, and the Cowboys gave him the ball a ton. I mean, he's had a hell of a career. It's unfair to have expectations that he's a number one back at this time in his career.
Yep.
How many running backs do you have? Three?
Well, you have what they will tell you is the discussion will be about Malik Davis and if he's the third. You have four.
So Rico Dowdle's on for sure?
Yeah. I think Rico Dowdle.
Sure.
Yeah.
Zeke. So Dowdle's for sure on. Yeah. They didn't play him last week.
We'll see. Like I say, the fight will be where Deuce Vaughn fits in all this. You know, is Malik Davis a bones fossil guy, and that is that going to be have him play over or make a roster spot over Deuce Vaughn? That's going to be
so. If you have Zeke and Deuce on the team, you're really doing some funny stuff there at that point. That's just
well, I don't know how much special teams Dowdle's going to play if he's the backup guy. Wow. Your third guy's got to be able to play some special teams.
I mean, I think the hope is Rico ends up being the lead back. You know, he's the guy that ends up getting the majority.
The, yeah.
No, 100% he hasn't stayed healthy. I mean, there's question marks with all of these guys.
Oh, no, that's what you have to do. That's what you have to figure out is, like, okay, which one of these guys is going to be able to stay healthy? And Dowdle is your best player. The questions about how long will he be the best players up for debate.
Might need to go see what the Chiefs got at number 42.
Yeah.
Was
their version of Hunter Lipke, really.
Dude, that guy was stumbling, bumbling last night.
Is it going to be painfully obvious that Zeke's leaving yards out there?
Yes.
Oof. So do you think they'll let him ride the whole season? Do you think makes it the whole season as part of the rotation?
I think you will see if you get through the first 2-3 weeks of the season and it looks like it's going nowhere, you will see more Rico Dowdle. That's my prediction.
Number 8 on the list, top 10 storylines from Oxnard. Young players making the jump. Mozzie, Jalen Brooks, DeMarvian Overshown. What are we? We're 2 for 3 on that one. Is Brooks going to be a guy who shows up on Sundays that's producing?
I think there was some questions about going into whether who was better with Brooks or with Tolbert. I think Tolbert has clearly won that job. But Brooks gives you a little bit of an advantage. He might be a guy that if last year you didn't get enough of Michael Gallup with the vertical ball stuff. This is where Brooks can come in. I think Brooks has a feel for how to run routes to separate down the field. So I would say if as the fifth receiver here right now, I think that he would be a guy that actually maybe the fourth receiver, I should say. He would be the guy that you're going to see more vertical game, and maybe that's the stuff that they missed with Gallup the last couple of years.
Nice. Number 9, the Zimmer Parsons connection. Kind of sounds like Miyagi and Danielson here with Micah saying pass rushing is an art. He's the paintbrush, and Mike Zimmer is the painter.
Yeah. I mean, you got to love the way that Zim can get creative with Micah and moving him around and being able to exploit different matchups. I mean, it's some things that we didn't quite see with Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn put his hand on the ground and let him rush, but he might have been forced to do that because – some of the scheme stuff that he had to do because of not having linebackers. So that might be something that we'll see a little bit
different. And, you know, possibly Micah's unwillingness to want to play linebacker.
True. True.
Number 10, O-line optimism. I love it. I've been calling for them to get young and get new with this offensive line for a couple of years. They did it. And I think, you know, we've seen once again, they're really freaking good at it, guys.
A healthier Terrence Steele will help the mix. You talk about the two, the center and the left tackle. The left tackle has got to get better with his hands. If he does not do that, then you're going to get a lot of holding calls this year because those hands, you know, are outside the framework quite a bit. He is going to have to work really hard to make sure his hand placement's better, or there's going to be some trouble out there.
All righty. For more on that, let's keep it locked right here because Krusty's Corner is coming up next. Brian, what do you have in store?
Yeah, I've got some questions from my guys about this team. We will continue that next.
Thank you, Lucius. Happy Friday to everybody out there. It is time now for Krusty's Corner. And here he is, one of the original kings of crustiness, Brian.
Thank you very much, Jonah. Appreciate that. Before we get started, can I say thanks to a Tolo out there? Big time Tolo out there?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Can I say thank you very, 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 very much to James Hahn, who runs one of the best services I've ever been a part of. He runs a company called Diffie Battery. Him and his partners do. And you heard my story yesterday about my battery problems in my car?
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy right here not only came to my house, put the battery in the car, made sure everything about the engine was right in the car. You talk about service. Even rode around with me. Like, I said, here are the keys. You want to drive, drive. He drove around. We talked and stuff. But he made sure. If you're one of those guys like me that knows nothing about cars, you know, I really appreciate Chief, Lucius, others trying to help my situation yesterday. I had no answers. I had really no answers. That thing died last night going home. I didn't want to be a part of it. But I called these guys, like I say, a Diffie Battery.
Lucius, how funny was it? Was there any comedic elements to your time trying to help Broadus?
Nah, not really. Nah. He didn't know how to hold the cables.
Yeah.
He was like, the cables were going to shock him just touching them.
He was so scared of those cables. And then
it was the index finger and the thumb as he was holding it with. Like, here you go, man. I got the
very much so away from his body.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was so funny because he couldn't just grasp the idea that maybe his battery was just completely dead because I had my jumper cables on
there. It was.
Oh, it definitely was. I'm like, dude, this should be working. He's like, are you sure the red is supposed to go on the red? I think he's supposed to put the black on the red. And I'm like, that's not how you're supposed to do it here. But
I would like to, you know, since I'm kind of taking all this from you over there, I'd like to maybe gift you some better jumper cables, maybe some more powerful ones, maybe some that have some thickness to them, you know?
They can, like, if there's still some, you know, somewhat of a pulse, they can bring you back, but they're not resuscitating you if you flatline, dude.
I think the battery was dead. There's no question.
Oh, man, James, it had to have been.
James was like, oh, no, you're carrying around a brick.
Yeah, thank
this
you.
A brick.
Thank
but you. Your jumper cables, if I was driving maybe a LeCar, or one of those smart
car. I don't think that it was a jumper cable issue.
Hey,
you wouldn't know that.
They were that trusty. Yeah.
You wouldn't know, by the way, Broadus held the cables, that he didn't have any respect for their power.
I'm not going to lie. I've seen too many of those commercials like Shell, you know, how to jump a car, and the battery blows through the thing. I've seen too many of those.
Well, you definitely don't want to touch them together.
Yeah, well.
Don't do that.
It's a good point. 214 is like, aren't you a race guy, Broadus?
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
I love the car races.
I'm not building the engine or being, I'm like, I used to tell guys this when I was in racing, like the guys, the engineers, the engine tuners and stuff, they would go, hey, Brian, how are the Buffalo Bills going to do this year?
And I'd say, but, Brian, hell, you're not even changing a tire, let alone the engine.
No, I'm not doing anything, Dawson. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm just admitting that I appreciate people that have businesses that do this.
Right.
Thank God for that.
Right.
Yeah, thank God for the people that can.
You can't turn it into a quality of your own.
Yeah, but when your friends let you down, you know, with bad jumper cables.
Bad jumper cables.
Look at you trying to turn it around.
It was the damn jumper cables.
Wow. I would have held the jumper cables the right
way. Lash out if it makes you feel better.
I would have held the jumper cables the right way.
Hold the L.
If I'd known they had some power going through them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyway.
Exactly. Everybody else's fault.
Yeah, it is. I totally admit it's. I confess, Eric did it.
Actually, I think that he took the rest of the power that was left into his car, got the energy.
I think they both felt obligated because for every Fridays I feed them, and it was kind of like, I got to try, man.
Feed me or not, I was going to try to get that car back going, man. I would have felt good about it.
Oh, man, man, I could have had you real quick out the way done in 3 minutes or less if I had my cables with me. My old lady took my cables because she, you know, had a friend at her job that had a sick car. But my cables are chunky, fam. Big pythons.
Yeah.
Big chunky.
If you're going to do a job, do it the right way.
Yeah.
That's all. Just remember that, Eric. If you're going to do a job, make sure you do it the right way.
Who's surprised that Lucius's is bigger than mine? Okay, I don't think anybody is.
That's the least surprising.
You talking about the cables?
Slap, 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 slap.
Of course,
yeah. All right, but thanks again to my friends over there at the Diffie. All right, questions for my guys, real quick here. I'm sorry I got on that, but I appreciate everybody keeping up.
James Hahn, man, the real
James
deal.
James Hahn. He's a Tolo, too. Big Tolo.
I keep those kind of details
he
down,
was like,
Brian.
Yeah, he was big Tolo.
We could, like, launch a full-on, like, teach a crusty essential life man skills. Like, I don't think you've never mowed a lawn, have you?
Yeah.
I did when I was 32 years old. I did. I mowed a yard.
Okay. You mowed a yard.
I mowed a yard.
Still working on your first tire change and battery change.
Yeah. That's true. All those things are true. All right. Here we go. Dawson.
Yeah.
Phillips Joseph Lawson. How does this end up at the end? Phillips.
Is that the street Joseph, driver?
Phillips Joseph Lawson. All
I'm
guys they've Phillip. Added.
Do I got to pick two?
No. How is this going to end with these guys, all three? How's this going to end with all three of these guys?
Phillips legend, Lawson old man, Joseph fair to Midland.
So you're not saying it's going to be very good for the Cowboys defense, all three of these guys?
No, I think it'll be overall pretty good. I think they've upgraded, you know, and where the way they've neglected, you know, these positions over the years. Well, I mean, not Lawson, but the interior. I'm just happy they got some veterans in here with some know-how. Now you won't, you know, have all the blown assignments. I think overall this is a nice upgrade for the Cowboys, but you got to keep expectations.
How about you, Chief?
Lower.
Phillips. Joseph Lawson. They added three defensive linemen. How's this going to end up?
Well, I do think that you will see Joseph and Phillips playing more snaps than Mozzie Smith, at least until those old bodies break down inevitably. I think like the season could start with those two guys, and you stretch them out as long as you can, and then before you know it, it's Mozzie Smith having to take over here because they're both aging big body dudes that only have so many snaps left. So perfect world. Those two guys play more than Mozzie, just because I'm not buying what Mozzie's selling right now with his play. Those guys are better than him today, but unfortunately, the attrition factor, those guys aren't going to last.
Wooly?
Yeah, all three play, and I think we'll have moments this year in contributions. I'm going to go Lawson one. I think Lawson could be a good find for them, and they need somebody to step up and be a pass rusher. I like what Lawson can bring to the table there. I'll go Phillips two and then Joseph three.
You know what? I would put Lawson three myself.
Okay.
I worry about I don't think Lawson is what he was 2-3 years ago. I think the run defending part is something that you could probably hang your hat on. I don't know if he rushes the passer like he once did.
Oh, that's pretty disappointing.
Because that's kind of what you need him for.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you need him for.
We'll see. I just kind of – that's one of those ones that
– I'm hoping he can give you a little
to make sure I played the game the right way, I would probably go Phillips, Joseph, Lawson.
No, I was just asking how you think they're all three going to do.
Okay, gotcha.
He just ranked them. He just power ranked them.
I like the way he did that.
Yeah, power rank them.
He's got that brain. He's got the power ranking brain.
Ranking them down.
He immediately just
you know me, I love a good list.
What's the best?
Chief.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about this tight end room?
I don't feel fantastic after Jake Ferguson. Now, I feel great about Jake Ferguson. And we all agree on this show that he's still underrated. When you hear just national conversations about tight ends, I still think he's being disrespected. I understand that he's not a household name necessarily, and it's a bit of a small sample size, like one season where he's really shown something. But I think he is your number two playmaker on offense outside of CeeDee Lamb. Okay, boom. So I feel great about him. Everybody else, I think there's giant question marks. I've never been a Scooney guy. I mean, he's getting injured. The best tweet of last weekend was like Todd Archer just saying like Scooney comes up gimpy after a 1-yard catch. Like that was the tweet, and he wasn't trying to be funny, but that's hilarious.
Yeah,
I none of those guys really have done enough to make you say you've locked yourself in as tight end too. So I think there's questions about a lot of those guys, especially from a blocking standpoint after Ferguson.
How about you, Wooly?
I'm a big John Stevens fan. I mean, when we were out in Oxnard, I left saying John Stevens is your tight end, too.
I think he's
gotten that position. I think now after a full training camp, you're saying the same thing. Yeah. People are kind of coming around on that idea. I think as a target, as a receiver, I mean, he's big body, moves really well. The blocking, it seems like, is coming along nicely.
Getting better.
I feel good about those two. I think John Stevens can be a really solid tight end, too. I just think there's tons of questions about availability when it comes to Schoonmaker. I think he's an average overall athlete. I thought that when he was coming out of Michigan, but it was the blocking that excited me, and they really needed that. I mean, there were times he was literally the headline blocker. He was leading Blake Corum through holes in Michigan.
Right.
He has not been the same player in the NFL. So, I mean, those three, I feel overall solid about the room because I think Ferguson can be a top five tight end this year. But him and Stevens, to me, are the two for sures.
Yeah, I feel good about it, but they've thrown a lot of assets at this position over the years, and they can't get anything except for like finesse pass catchers. It just seems like you should be able to go out and find somebody that can wham the nose and open up the run game for you. And you know, the disappointment of Schoonmaker cannot be overstated, because that's just a massive disappointment. And between him and Mozzie Smith, that failed draft is the reason why this championship window is closed for the time being.
Wooly,
what up?
Do you feel like that Marquise Bell will be the starter for Wilson at some point this season?
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Marquise Bell is just a playmaker. He's always around the football. The question was, okay, how does he do in coverage going back to safety? You know he can tackle. I think Wilson, it was a good conversation we had about, like, sometimes he's not always taking the right angles.
Right.
And I thought coverage, he was a liability at times last year. It seemed like he had a pretty strong camp.
Yeah.
So, to your point, I expect Wilson to start, but I think Bell absolutely will eat into some of those snaps.
How about you there, Chieftain?
I feel the exact same way. I mean, I used to absolutely love Donovan Wilson from a couple of years ago. He still has some elements of that. I mean, he is a dog. He's the guy that's getting in a fight with Jake Ferguson at the end of training camp. He is a dude that will absolutely smack you and be a bit of a tone setter for your defense. But I love what Marquise Bell does. So I think there's a place for both of them here. I think they're both assets.
Dawson, you feel about the safeties?
Wilson has to be a lot more sound here in the first month of the season, or I'd be looking to make that switch myself.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on there. And the final one here in the minute we have, better rookie season, Cooper Beebe or Marshawn Nealon?
I'm going to go with Marshawn Nealon. You know, I think BB has quite a bit of figuring out to do, get the reps in, and long-term he's going to be great, but I think his learning curve is sharper.
How about you there, Chief?
I might agree. I just think the level of difficulty to do what Cooper Beebe is going to have to do as opposed to what Marshawn Nealon's defined role. Hey, you play this side of the ball and you set the edge, and there's not as much to it as what center is. So I'll go Nealon because of that.
I'll stay with my guy, Cooper.
And the reason being?
I just think he's going to be, I mean, an upgrade for you at center. I mean, I think both are going to be good. Yeah. But, I mean, what he's able to give you at center, I think, is going to help overall this running game as well.
Yeah, I really do think that this kid at center is going to be just fine. I really do. Just the more you watch him play, he's not your traditional-looking center. He's kind of a guy of a throwbacks look to him, the way he plays and stuff. He's tough. He's never on the ground. I think Marshawn Nealon has really surprised. You asked me the most surprising pick that they made, that one was, because I wasn't really sure how that one was going to play. Had an idea how good BB was going to do, but I think he's going to be the guy in the rookie season that we're all going to be really happy he's there. Thank you guys, appreciate that.
Thank you, Brian. There he goes, Krusty's Corner, every afternoon 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We have an hour and a half of content remaining. Rangers at Cleveland coming up at 5:30 with the pregame. We'll talk with Sands there. We'll talk with Eric Nadell coming up at about 4:20. Well, Chuck, what do we have next?
Yeah, let's do a little Friday audio news dump, shall we? We got a sing-off. We've got Does the NFL Need More Hate? And a Happy Gilmore update. That's next in the Nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.